Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, there have been many tragic and heartrending things in the news. The firestorms in Australia impacting their wildlife and all those creatures and ecosystems, and a major earthquake in Puerto Rico, and an airplane crash in Iran that killed 167 people. We first heard about it as a plane crash of a Ukrainian aircraft, and later the news told us that this plane didn't just crash, it was shot down by a ground-to-air missile. And as it turns out, most of the passengers on this aircraft are Canadian. And I'd heard quite a bit about this, and then I was listening to a story on Minnesota Public Radio, and it was a long way into the story where they pointed out that most of these Canadians are people of Iranian descent, immigrants to Canada, as well as others who are living in Canada but are not yet citizens or are studying abroad in Canada. It surprised me that that wasn't a detail that they had talked about earlier. And it isn't the way that the Canadians are looking at it either. They are looking at this as people who are Canadian because they're a country of immigrants. And most everybody, one, two, three, four generations ago, just like us, has family that came from elsewhere. I found it really refreshing to hear this, that they're not calling these people outsiders and others or identifying them based on their nationality or their skin tone or their history or their religion, but they are embracing them as Canadians. We are in the second week of our sermon series about why church. And last week, Pastor Ruth talked about why church restoration. If you were here with us, you remember she talked about all the things she loved about going to worship as a child. Things like the candles and the music and the organ and the people and all of the traditions that make church into church. But then when she was working in a hospital setting, they were doing worship in a very plain, windowless, multi-purpose room. And yet it still was church. Because the people, the patients who came, were hurting, in despair, broken, and yearning to hear God's word. It didn't have all those things that made it look like church or feel like a traditional church, but it very much was church. So it started us thinking, what is church? What are the most important aspects of church? And today, as we ask the question, why church? Church is about reimagination. And yet, I think we need to think more about what is church. Now, let's look at the story of the four friends who bring their friend to Jesus. That doesn't look like what we think of as church. There wasn't music or candles or singing or prayers or baptism or any of those things, as far as we know. Jesus was talking to this crowd of people. There weren't stained glass windows. There might not have even been any glass in the windows. They might have just been an opening. And yet, it had certain elements of church. Fast forward to the story about Levi, the tax collector, who Jesus went to eat with. Now, taxes are something that have been in existence since long before Jesus' time, and they're something that we grumble about. It's only January, so April 15th seems very, very far away. And yet January is the time where we start getting those mailings or things in our inbox that are tax forms we need to start collecting. And it means we get this nagging feeling like, okay, I should really jump on this and get an early start on that this year. And if you're like me, you don't really like to pay taxes, even though you know that the government does many things for the good of people with that money. It was somewhat similar in Jesus' time. The central government collected taxes for the purposes of running the society. They used local people in the communities to collect taxes from their neighbors. And different from the way we do it now, the government said you have to collect this much. But then the tax collectors were allowed to collect as much more as they wanted to, enough to sustain themselves and pay their living. Well, people knew about this system and knew that tax collectors collected way more than was needed, and they were seen as very corrupt. So the fact that Jesus chose those people to spend time with was frightening to others. Why was Jesus eating with those people? People who were seen as the lowest rung in society. Now, when we think about church, yes, we gather together and learn things. Yes, we gather together and eat. We here at Prince of Peace do a lot of that gathering and eating. And yet, we think of church as this coming together for a worship experience. Yet, I would challenge you to find a Bible story where Jesus gathers a crowd that looks like one of our Sunday worship services, or even a worship service as they did it in his time. Those are not the stories that we read in the Bible. Jesus is blowing up what we think of as church. And yet there's beauty and simplicity to these stories about gathering together and about eating. I spent some time this week with one of the pastors from Trinity Lutheran Church in Stillwater. She had spent her day that day at a training session with 100 people from her congregation, because that church, Trinity, has decided to open their doors to people who are homeless, to have a place to sleep for the rest of the winter. And they were being trained about what to do and how to do this. She said they were very excited about this new endeavor, and they were also scared to death. They don't know what to expect. What will it be like to be in the presence of these neighbors who are so much the same and yet so different from themselves? And yet they are branching out, helping people, people who are clamoring to get indoors, to have a warm place to sleep, just like these four friends were clamoring to get into this house to see Jesus. The four friends who cut that hole in the roof were bold. They were creative and imaginative. They felt like they needed to get to Jesus, and it didn't work to push their way into the house or climb in through the windows. They were persistent. They had this need, this hunger for what Jesus had to offer. And Jesus did not turn them away. He didn't scold them for digging a hole in the roof or coming at a bad time or interrupting what Jesus was planning to do that day. No, Jesus stopped what he was doing. He saw that they were there for an important purpose. Jesus was there with them. Jesus put humanity above the rules and the practices of society. He embraces the way that they reimagined creating a relationship with Jesus. One of the reasons that I love working with young children, especially preschoolers, is that they don't have any preconceived ideas. When we're playing, let's imagine all things are possible. It reminds me of the Bible verse about through God, all things are possible. How is it that we can learn from the people in this story, that we can learn from young children to reimagine and see that all things are possible? And to answer the question, why church, with that broad frame of mind. Please join me in prayer. Let us pray. God of all things, we live so much of our lives in a box, sometimes a pretty small box, and sometimes in only a small corner of that small box. Help us to recognize when we should throw away the box and reimagine things just as Jesus did when he ate with tax collectors and when these four friends found a way to seek Jesus. Inspire us to imagine ways about who and what it is to be the church and why that is important. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.